There we go.
What are you talking about today?
No love.
No love.
No love. No margin, no balance, no time, no love is where we are today. So find your Christchurch notes. They're there in your worship program. Go ahead and find those. And find a pen or a pencil on the seat back in front of you. There are several blanks I'm going to be asking you to fill in today as we move through, continue to move through this series that I'm called Sick and Tired. So, you know, I mean, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm glad you're here today because you're in the right spot. You know, 4 weeks ago, we started the series. Week one was all about no margin, having no margin in our lives. The second week was all about having no balance. And so if you have no margin and you have no balance, well, it just leads directly to what we talked about last week, which means that we have no time. We have no time for the things that matter most in life. With no margin, no balance, you will have no time for the things that matter most in life. Now, if you have no margin and you have no balance and you have no time, it brings us today because then you're going to have no love. No love, no margin, no balance, no time comes no love. That's where we are today. So we're going to begin by doing what we've done each week during this series, and that is read the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I hope you've memorized it by now. We need to commit this to memory. Here it is. Let's read it together. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." One more time. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." That's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You know, Jesus said, "I'll give you rest." You know, how many of you want some rest? You know, I mean, I can use some rest. That sounds awfully attractive to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I could use that rest. I imagine you could too. You know, like I've said each week during this series, just a moment of self-confession. I'm the one who needs all of this. You know, you just happen to hear me preaching to myself, you know, because I need to be reminded of these biblical principles. I need to more align my life with God's plan and God's purpose and God's design for how God created us to live. It's important. We've got to do that if we're going to have any balance, if we're going to have any margin for those things that matter most in our life. And the reason why so many of us are sick and tired is because we believe that living life without margin and balance due to unhealthy and unprioritized loads is somehow normal. We think that that's normal, that there's nothing we can do about it. And as I said last week, folks, that's one of the biggest lies that Satan will ever whisper in your ear. He's been whispering that garbage in our ear for so long that we've begun to believe it. We believe that there's nothing we can do, that living life in this frantic, unhealthy pace is somehow normal, and that there's nothing that we can do about it. So let's remind ourselves what margin, balance, and load really are. Well, first thing, I want you to write this in, because margin is all about making space in your schedule and your life for those things that matter most. You know, before you begin, or as you begin, you've got to make some space for the things that matter most in life. But that's not enough. Creating margin is not enough. It doesn't work without balance, because balance is all about preserving the space for the things that matter most. You know, because what's going to happen, right, is that once you've made space, you begin looking at your calendar and say, oh, well, I've got all this time now, and this free time now, this free time now. And so all of that stuff that is not a part of your priorities start filling up that void. So margin is about making space, balance is about preserving the space, and then our load is all about the things that I have to do. What is that? That's our priorities. That's those timeless, non-negotiable priorities in your life. Those are the loads, the things that you have to do and have to accomplish. And the reason why so many of us are so chronically sick and tired is because we fail to prioritize those things that matter most. And then the urgent starts coming in rather than the important. We start getting filled with the urgent rather than the important. So, you know, when that starts happening, when we have no space and we've not preserved any and we've got all this to do, we find ourselves overburdened, overscheduled, overcommitted, overplanned. And what it ends up doing to us is it leaves us emotionally empty and spiritually depleted. We have nothing to give. We have nothing to give our family. We have nothing to give our wife or our husband. We have nothing to give our children. We have nothing to give to our friends. Why? Because we are emotionally empty and spiritually depleted. Nothing to give to the Lord. So I have a question for you. Imagine that you and your very best friend are shipwrecked together, and now you find yourself floating in the middle of the ocean in a life raft. You and your best friend. Inside the raft are three things, too. There is a 5-gallon jug of water. There is a set of flares, and there's enough food for a week. But as you're floating out there, you recognize that there is no way that you're going to be able to get to land without throwing one thing overboard. What is that one thing that you're going to throw overboard? If you're thinking your best friend, you're in the right place today. You're in the right place. I am so glad you're here, because we're going to be talking about relationships. Because when you have no love, you have no relationships. It's all about relationships. You know, and I'll tell you, now, one thing that's important is, you know, if I'm ever in a raft with you, I don't want you to throw me over. But we got to remember that life's all about relationships. And here's that biblical truth right here. I want you to write it in. You already know life is about what? Relationships. Yeah. Life is all about relationships. It's a biblical truth. There is nothing more important than your relationships, your relationship with God and your relationship with one another. That's the vertical and the horizontal, right? The vertical, our relationship with God, and horizontal, our relationship with one another. In fact, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, Corinth was in Greece, he was writing to the church at Corinth, and in chapter 14, verse 1, he was saying, here's what you need to know. Life is all about relationships. So he says in the Living Bible, he says, make love your greatest aim. Make love your greatest aim. But then in the New Living Translation, it's translated this way, let love be your what? Your highest goal, right? So the first was your greatest aim. Second is your highest goal. Then in the Contemporary English Version, it says, love should be your guide. Love should be your guide. So your greatest aim, your highest goal, your God. And then in the New Century Version, it says, you should seek after love. Seek after love. And then one of my favorites, the Message Translation, says it like this. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. Because it does. Because it does. That's exactly right. Our life depends on it. It depends on it. You know, and of all the things that God could have said to you and to me, you know, you need to build your life on something. Why in the world would he have said we need to build our life on love? Well, I can tell you, it's a biblical truth. And the reason he said you got to build your life on love is because love is a top priority. I want you to write that in. It's biblical truth that love is a top priority, a top priority. Why? Because the way you love or the way you fail to love affects every area of your life. Remember, life's all about relationships, the vertical and the horizontal. Let me show you what I mean. This is all through the scripture. Let me show you how what I mean by that. Why love is a top priority. Here it is. Because unless I love, everything I, what's that word? Say. Everything I say is just noise. Everything I say is just noise. Unless I love, everything I say is just noise. Let's say it together. Unless I love, everything I say is just noise. And you say, well, where in the world do you get that, John? Well, right out of the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13 may have been, if you're married, may have been read at your wedding ceremony. It's often called a love chapter. But look what Paul has to say here. He says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Let me tell you, you know, unless there's an orchestra playing, you certainly can't sing only to a clanging cymbal, can you? It's just a bunch of, here's that word right there, noise. It's just a bunch of noise. A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, just a bunch of noise. You know, if you know anything about ancient history, you'll know that in the ancient Greek culture, that they prided themselves on their ability to speak eloquently and to express them their wisdom with very specific language. These philosophers wanted to ensure that they could argue in the very best way. They could debate ideas and concepts and just parse up words in such a way that it would make things extremely clear. Well, you know, even in the Christian church there in Greece, that culture fell over into the Christian church, and the Christians were saying to Paul, look, we can speak in the tongues of men and of angels. We can share the gospel in the tongues of men and of angels. Paul writes back and says, so what? So what? So you can speak eloquently. So you can speak better than I can. So what? My question to you, people of Corinth, is do you love? Do you love? Because if you don't, everything you say is what? Just noise. Let me tell you a story. A few years ago, I'd been working early in the morning, and I'd been getting home till late at night. This was going on for months and months and months. And frankly, I was neglecting my wife. I was neglecting my kids. My family was suffering. And I came down for breakfast one morning, and Rosemary had made a breakfast for me. And I didn't have time to eat it. I needed to get to the church. I had things to do, had stuff that we could get accomplished. And so I said, honey, I don't have time for breakfast. And I went over and gave her a kiss and said, I love you. And I turned around and started to walk out the garage door. And she said, uh-huh. And so I shut the door and said, what? I said, I love you. And she said, uh-huh. And then she did this, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, this stopped me in my tracks. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I haven't seen you for months. The kids don't even know your name. And you tell me you love me? I tell you, you know, that hurt. She's right, of course, but it hurt. You know, no matter what I say, unless I show love, everything that I say is just noise. What about you? You got a bunch of noise in your life? Everything you say just noise because of the way you live? You know, you think about it. You know, it pained me to hear that. Everything that I said, when I say, honey, I love you, all she heard was that. Everything I say is just noise unless I love. Here's the second part. Unless I love, everything I know is incomplete. Everything I know is incomplete. Unless I love, everything I know is incomplete. And you say, hey, well, where in the world did you get that, John? Well, next verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, first part of that, that'd be verse A. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what's going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? What good would it do? If I knew everything that was going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, you know, I think I know some people who think they know everything about everything, but everything about everything, but didn't love others, what in the world good would it do? You know, folks, I am constantly amazed at the brilliance of this church, the gifts, the talents, the skills, the intellect of the people of this church, this congregation, okay, Christ Church. You know, the knowledge base that is available right here is absolutely incredible. You know, many of you have gone to some of the most prestigious universities in the entire country. You know, if you put all the intellect together, it would probably rival the top quarter person, 25% of any group that met anywhere could be found right here in this church. You know, but what we can never forget is that in the economy of God, you can be a Phi Beta Kappa. You can be a card-carrying member of the Mensa or a society. You can have so many degrees that they call you Dr. Thermometer. But in the economy of God, it doesn't matter unless you love. You hear it? You could have so many degrees after your name, so many letters after your name that it looks like they spilled alphabet soup. But in the economy of God, unless you love, it just doesn't matter. Everything I know is incomplete. You know, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. You know, people don't care what you know, unless they know that you care. They don't care what you know, unless they know that you care. You know, I've told my staff, and I've told some of you, you know, that if I know that you love me, that you really do care about me, you can tell me anything. You can tell me anything. You can say, you know, John, you're ugly. If I know you love me, you can tell me that. But you know, if I don't believe you actually care about me, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's coming from a very selfish way, a selfish place. It may be more about you than it is about me. You see, people don't care what you know unless they know that you care, because everything you know then becomes incomplete unless you're loving, unless you show it through your love. So, unless I love, everything I say is just what? Noise, right? Everything I know is incomplete. Here's the next thing. Why is love such a top priority? Because unless I love, everything I believe is not enough. Everything I believe is not enough. That comes from the second part of that verse we just read just a moment ago. Look what he said, what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He said, look, if I have a faith that can say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. I mean, look at that verse. If I have such a faith that I can say to a mountain to jump, and it does, but I don't love, Paul says, look, I'm nothing. You know, there's a misconception among a number of Christians that that, you know, all it takes to being a follower of Christ is to believing certain things, certain truths, certain doctrines, you know, certain stuff, you know. And I want to say, you know, I don't think that's true. I don't believe that that's so. In fact, I think following Christ is a whole lot more than believing certain truths and doctrines, you know, because the Lord tells us right here, unless I love, it's not enough. You know, being a follower of Christ is not simply about knowing stuff, but it's about embodying that stuff that you live out. You know, I've said many times, I think a lot of people are going to miss heaven by about 14 inches. Because you got it here, but do you have it here? Has it made a trip down from your head to your heart? You know, some say, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Well, okay. But did you know that the devil believes in Jesus? Satan knows that Jesus is the Son of God. But where'd that get him? You see, it's not enough to simply believe. That's this. It's got to travel another 14 inches to where you actually embody it and live it out. It's not a matter of knowing all the doctrines, you know. It's not a matter of being able to say the Apostles' Creed, you know, have it memorized. It's not enough. Do you love? You know, the mission of our church is to love God. That's the vertical. Love others. That's the horizontal. But it didn't stop there, right? Love God, love others, and what? Live out the gospel life. Embody it. Do something with it. Show people you love them. That's what this is all about. Everything I believe is not enough if I don't love. If I don't love. In fact, look what Paul wrote right here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He said, all that matters is your faith that makes you love others. You know, some of us need to commit this to memory. We need to commit that verse to memory. All that matters is your faith that makes you love others. All that matters is your faith that makes you love others. All that matters is your faith to make that makes you love others. You know, when you're overloaded, overburdened, and overcommitted, when your schedule's so full that you don't even have time for your wife or your husband or your family, your children, you know, and not a whole lot matters if you're not living this gospel life out, starting in your own home and living it out in the world. So unless I love, everything I say is just noise, right? Everything that I know is incomplete. Unless I love, everything that I believe is not enough. And finally, unless I love, why is this a top priority? Because unless I love, everything I give is of no value. Everything I give is of no value. You say, well, where is that one, John? Well, it's in the third verse. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I gave everything I have to poor people, but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. Let's say it together. If I gave everything I have to poor people, but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. You know, that scripture says you can give away every single solitary penny that you have and still not love. And you think, how in the world, if I give away everything I've got, isn't that because I'm motivated out of love? No, 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 no. Maybe not. In fact, you and I know that people give for all kinds of reasons. Some folks like to give because of prestige. You know, they want their name on a plaque, or they want their name on a building, or they want everybody to know that that they have given, you know, a certain thing or a certain structure or whatever it is to have their name on it. That's not giving out of love. That's giving out of so you can have some prestige. In fact, in the church that Rosemary and I met and married in North Carolina, in the parking lot, believe it or not, is a rock with a plaque on it. A rock with a plaque on it. I used to call it our memorial rock. Somebody wanted their name on a rock, that they had given that rock to the church. You know, I think, come on. On Easter Sunday, here's one more story. Easter Sunday morning from this church that where we met and married. It was Easter Sunday morning. Church was packed. On the third row from the front, on the left-hand side, there were always this little old lady. She's dead now, so I can call at least her first name. Her name is Clara. And Clara always came in just a little bit late after we were singing the first hymn. And she would always come down. She was hunched over, and she'd have her cane, and she was coming down the aisle. And some time ago, many, many, many moons ago, some member of her family gave that pew in the church. And there was a plaque on it that says, this pew was given by Clara's family, okay? So here comes Clara. Now, you got to understand, this is a big church. It's kind of cathedrally like, you know, pipes in the pipe organ in the front and pipes in the back. And we were singing Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And she's coming down the aisle. And we are on our last chorus of Alleluia. And she said, right as we were ending, that's my seat. To a family of visitors who had never been to that church before. But she always sat in the seat that she or her family had given. I just simply tell you all of that to say people give for all kinds of reasons. Some want prestige. You can give a memorial rock, I guess, if that's what you want. But, you know, some people give out of power, you know, or to be able to control the situation or to control others. People give out of obligation. People give out of guilt, you know. And the Lord is saying here, look, just because you give doesn't mean that you're doing it in love. I mean, even those great theologians, the Beatles, you know, they got it right when they sang Can't Buy Me Love, right? You remember that song? I'll give you all I have to give if you say you'll love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I have, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, because money can't buy me love, can't buy me love. Everybody tells me so, can't buy me love. No, 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 no. There you go, that's it. Even the Beatles got it right. Even the Beatles got it right. They understand this principle. Check it out. Biblical principle, and that is I can love without giving, but I can't I can give without loving, but I can't love without giving. Biblical principle. I can give without loving, but I can't love without giving. So unless I love, everything that I say is just what? It's just noise, right? Everything that I know is incomplete. Everything that I believe is not enough. And everything I give is of no value unless I love. And folks, if you agree with all of that, then you'll agree with this. And that is, the best use of life is love. The best use of life is love. You know, the only thing that you're going to have in life that's going to last is going to be the love you give. Everything else is going to eventually burn up, decay, go away, and rot. But love is what is going to last. In fact, check this out. From Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:3. So, no matter what I say, no matter what I And no matter what I'm bankrupt without love. No matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I am bankrupt without love. You know, if I were to ask you today, how many of you want to leave a legacy in your life? I bet most of us would raise our hand. If I were to say, how many of you want to make a difference with your life? Most of us would raise our hand in this room. How many of you would like to make a positive influence on the world? Most of you would raise your hand. But God has shown us how we can leave that legacy, how we can leave a lasting impression. And let me tell you, it has to do, oh, it's gone. It's the best use of life is love. The best use of life is love. God says, faith, hope, and love. Out of all of these, these are the three that are going to endure. But the greatest of these is what? Is love. Yeah. You see, it's not work, it's not wealth, but it is love that leaves that legacy. You know, so often we will think that, you know, it's our achievements that people are going to remember, that the people are going to remember about us or our achievements. But, you know, I believe that 5 years from today, nobody's going to remember what you've done. I mean, probably your best friend won't even remember that you've got that soccer trophy. You know, that or that little league trophy, that soccer trophy, or that debate trophy, or that drama club trophy, or that bowling trophy, whatever trophy you've got, all that stuff one day is going to be in the landfill. And nobody's going to remember that you were the world's okayest baseball player. Because we give trophies for everything. But nobody's going to remember your accomplishment. But I'll tell you what they will remember about you is the way you made them feel. That's what they're going to remember. The way you made them feel. Did you love them? Did you show it? In what way did you show that you loved? That's what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember anything else, but they will remember how you made them feel. You know, I was thinking tomorrow we have a funeral of one of the former great members of Christ Church, and you know, that's what I was thinking about this week is how did he make me feel? And you know, I've got a lot to say about that, actually. Because that's what I'm going to remember about this gentleman. Is the way that he made me feel. You know, when all is said and done in your life, I mean, what are people going to say about you? When you're in a jar on the altar table here or in a box in front of me, what in the world are people going to say about you? Because they're not going to be hauling up your trophies. They're going to talk about the way you made them feel. So the last thing is this. The best use of life is love, and the best time to love, you already know the answer to that, is what? Now. Yeah. And the best time to love is now. It's not later this week, it's not tomorrow, not when things settle down, it's not when you reach a certain standard of living. I mean, who are you kidding? The best time to love is right now. Matter of fact, Jesus said this. He said, "Now I tell you to love each other the way that I have loved you." You know, if you don't love, I don't think the question is if you will regret that. But I think the question is probably best stated, but when is it that you're going to regret it? Who do you need to spend time with?
What are those things that you really need to look at in your life that's on your plate, that's taking up all your time, that you have very little time for relationships of any kind? What do you got to mark out of there? What do you need to set some fence posts, some boundaries around, so it doesn't bleed into every other area of your life? What do you need to do in order to preserve the space for the things that matter most? Because if love is a top priority, as the scripture tells us, then without margin and without balance, you have no time. And if you have no margin and no balance and no time, you're going to end up without love. And that's an incredibly lonely place to be, but it doesn't have to stay there. You may be there now, but you don't have to stay there. Because the Lord has come to say, I'm showing you how to live. I'm giving you these biblical principles. Are you smart enough to put them into practice? It'll change your life. Let's pray together. You know, Father, it is so easy to get distracted from the things that matter most in life. Knowing and loving you and knowing and loving those around us, our family, our friends, our children, our wives, our husbands. Forgive us, Lord, for being so task-driven that we fail to be love-driven. Forgive us for the way we value things and accomplishments rather than value others around us. So, Father, thank you for this wake-up call today. I know what matters most, even when my schedule doesn't show it. And I thank you, Lord, for the reminder today. I know that the people who are loving me right now are a gift from you. So please forgive me when I take them for granted. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing other things to crowd out my relationship with you and with others. I really do want to change, and I want to slow down, and I want to make time for loving relationships. I know that this may mean making some personal sacrifices, maybe even some financial ones, but Jesus, you modeled real love when you sacrificed yourself for me. So thanks. I want to be like you. And I want to make love the primary aim of my life. And I want to do it for the rest of my life. And I pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.